You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Praise God. It is so good to see you all in church today. Before you take your seats, I just want to say thank you for your prayers last week when Lauren and I, we couldn't be in church. We thought our bub wanted to come 7 weeks early and did try to come, but praise God that didn't happen. Just want to thank you for your prayers, and you need to know that the prayers of the righteous one availeth much. Amen. That's what the Word of God says. The prayers of the righteous one availeth much. That means that those who are righteous and pray faith-filled prayers, great things happen. So God bless you. Don't just pray for me and my wife when we need it. Make sure you lift your own wife and your own husband and your own family up in prayer when you need it. Amen. Because God's a miracle-working God. Amen. Come on, give him another prayer of praise in Jesus' name. Come on. Amen. You may take your seats. Take your seats. Praise God. It is so good to be in church. I did miss out on being in church last week, and that was very sad. It always frustrates me when I'm not in church, especially if I can't go anywhere at all. But it was good to be at the hospital with my wife. Amen? And so, over the last couple of weeks, I've been really excited and encouraged hearing people's feedback from the sermons. And a couple of weeks ago, I preached a sermon called Have a Big Drink. And we told you all to have a big drink and have a big drink every day. And we were talking, praise God, about the Holy Ghost and the power in the presence of God. Amen. Spending time in the presence of God. And people often say, well, not people often, but someone did say to me, Pastor Jesse, you preached a sermon saying have a big drink, and you made a connection between alcohol and the Holy Spirit. And I'm not sure that's a great idea. So I just pointed out that it was actually the Bible that made that connection first. When Peter said, these are not drunk as you suppose, they're just very, very filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? So it wasn't me that did that first, if you walked away thinking, what on earth is happening in that church? Peter did that first. The people around him did that first. Amen? But what that tells me is that if somebody has been spending time in the presence of God, there should be a noticeable difference between that person and the other person. See, if the Word of God compared it to being drunk, we're not saying that means we act foolish and do dumb things and we're slurring our words and all that. No, no, no. What we can learn from that is that it shows us that it should be noticeably different when someone has had a big drink, a good time in the presence of God, asking the Lord to move in their lives, than someone who has not. Amen. And so I've been talking this week, and I had great conversations about people, text messages, emails, about people who have begun to drink deeply daily, spending a lot of time in the presence of God, having a big drink and having a big drink every day. And there's one young lady in particular in this church who struggles with deep anxiety. Just like a really deep anxiety, right? Just someone who is just crippled by it. Imagine being a person who every time you go to open your mouth, if there's just a touch of confrontation or just a touch of disagreement, that they're just instantly paralyzed. Like not just can't talk, but can't even move their tongue. This young lady in our church suffers from severe anxiety, and she started telling me how she's been starting and ending her day now with 10 minutes in the presence of God, worshiping Him, asking Him for peace, and it has radically changed her life. Radically changed her life in 2 weeks. See, do you believe that God could radically change someone's life in 2 weeks? Radically, he could radically change your life in just a moment right now at the altar after church praying for you. He could radically change your life as you sit there letting the Word of God and the message of the Lord wash over your soul. He can radically change your life. Goodness me, He made the earth in 6 days and He rested on the seventh. What could God do with a moment with you? Imagine what He could do with 2 weeks. So this young lady, as we've been talking about creating margin in your life so that you don't just get knocked over the second something happens, creating margin. She's done just that. She starts and ends her day now in the presence of God, and she's no longer being crippled. I'm serious. It's amazing. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. And now she can have healthy conversation. Because who knows that disagreement and a little bit of confrontation is just healthy conversation, right? You've got to be able to have a disagreement with somebody and still engage in the conversation. Well, now for the first time in years, this young lady is having healthy, engaging conversation. Isn't that good news? Praise God. Give him a shout of praise. So I want to encourage you as well to be like this young lady and just take what you learn on Sundays and do it on Mondays. Take what you hear, do it, and see God move in your life like He is in hers. There's so many different things we can do in our lives to create margin, right? So I want to talk to you about that today. Some things you can do, some things you can dwell on, think on, and do in your life that will create margin. You'll see margin begin to appear, all right? Margin is not just a financial thing. See, we talk about margin in the finances. It's not just a financial thing. And margin in your life is not just about rest. Margin is not simply a matter of having enough time for your family. Margin in your life is also about headspace. Have you ever had this moment or this time where it's been a big week or you're dealing with A, B, and C, and somebody throws Z on top, and you're like, I can't think on that right now. Have you ever done that? Like, someone starts talking and just their talking to you about it is frustrating you. They're talking to you and just that bit of conversation makes you want to spew. I can't deal with another thing because you have no headspace left right now. You've been there? Give me a wave if you've ever been there, right? And so God wants to help you find some margin in your life if that's you. We want you to be able to find some space, some gap in your life to fit more things. Margin is about headspace, your heart space. It's also about your capacity, your energy levels, and your ability to do what God has called us to do without falling apart at a simple touch of pressure. Now, the biggest and bestest and most baddest thing you can do is spend time with God. Like I said 2 weeks ago, drink deeply daily. Have a big drink of the presence of God and have a big drink every day. Amen? It's the biggest, bestest, and baddest thing you can do to create margin in your life. But there's some other things you can do that aren't simply about having rest or aren't simply about being at home for your family. Some other things that God designed you and wants you to do so that you can enjoy your life and have margin, okay? And so it's been my experience that the more I take care of what God has given me and what God has called me to, the more margin I have in my life. The more capacity I end up with, the more energy that I have, and the more headspace that I have. And so have you ever noticed there's some people that seem like they can do 10 times more than anybody else, but it still appears as if there's margin in their life? And you look at them and you're like, what is going on? How do they do that? But then there's other people who are doing about a tenth as much as those people, and it's not about laziness. They're not lazy, they just don't have the capacity. You know, you hear what I'm saying? Sounds a little bit like the story of the talents in the Word of God, doesn't it? The person doing less needs to maintain their faithfulness in the less so they can be blessed in the more. The parable of the talents is about these three guys and the master gives them all some stuff. Let's say it was 50, 10, and 1. So one guy gets given 50 things, one guy gets given 10 things, and one guy gets given one thing. The master says to all three of them, hey, I've given you all these things. We'll look after them while I go on a journey. So they all go, righto, we'll look after all that. And so the guy who was given 50 goes, I know what to do with this. I've got the capacity to handle these 50 things, look after my family, and enjoy life at the same time. I'm going to take these 50, I'm going to invest, and I'm going to turn that into 150, right? And so he does that, and he maybe more, maybe a touch, but almost 3 times or 10 times more, whatever, just a lot more. The other guy who got given 10 things, he's like, all right, I've got the capacity to handle this. I'm going to I'm just going to work hard. I'm going to invest in this, look after my family, enjoy life on the way. And so he turns it into 20 things. Amazing, right? Doubled it for the master. The one who got given one, he's like, oh man, I've only got one thing. I don't want to ruin it. I better protect this thing. I better protect it and keep it safe. I know what I'll do. So that when the master comes back, I'll have something to give him. I'll dig a hole. So Dale dug a hole. And he sticks that thing down the bottom there, fills it with dirt, covers it back up. And then the master comes back home and asks everyone, where's my stuff? Well, the one who turned it into a lot more, the one who started with 50, gives it to him. And the master's like, this is awesome. Well done. You're a champion. Good job, mate. He goes down to the guy who was given 10, and he's doubled it. And the master's like, good job, mate. Well done. That's fantastic. I love to see all your hard work. Good job. And he goes down, getting excited. I wonder what the guy with one's done. And the guy with one goes, oh, here you go, mate. I buried this for you. The master's mad. He's mad as a cut snake right now. He's like, what'd you do that for? I wish you would have at least put it in the bank, where I could have got at least 1% interest on it. Could have got something on that, you wicked lazy man. So then he takes the one thing from that guy and gives it to the one who started with 50. Which you would do too if you were an investor, wouldn't you? You'd give something to someone who gives back the same thing. Someone else turned it to 10 times more or 3 times more. You'd take it from him and give it to them, wouldn't you, right? See, what we want to do though is we want to be the people who are faithful with one thing. What's the one thing that God has given me? I want to be faithful with that, serve God with that, and God willing, I'll turn it into 2 or even 10 things by the time he asks for it back. Amen. I want God to increase your capacity so that even if right now you're on the one thing, that in 5 years you'll be on the 50 things. Amen. It is my prayer that your capacity, your ability would increase as you honor the Lord with what you have. See, as an employer or as a boss, so to speak, I'm the lead pastor here, so I have people who work for me. I would rather somebody take the one thing and try real hard and lose the one thing than do nothing with it at all. I would rather them make a mistake and destroy it and it's gone than have them have done nothing with what I gave them. God wants you to do something with what he's given you, my friend. And every single one of you has at least one thing. One thing. Now, there's some things that you can do to make sure you have the capacity to manage your one thing, right? Your one thing, your 10 things, your 50 things. I don't know how many things you have. But there's some things you can do in your life to increase your capacity. There's some things you can do in your life to make sure that you have the energy and the strength or the margin to deal with the 1, the 10, the 50 things that God has given you. You want to hear some of them? Good. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about some of those things. But today I want to talk to you about just one thing only. This is a very important one thing that you all need to do to honor God in your life and with the one thing. See, there was a point where Jesus said to his disciples that we have to give up everything. That means, he said, we're going to give up everything, and that's going to mean getting persecuted and carrying a cross, right? You ever read that? It's in Luke 14, it's in Matthew 5 and Luke 9, give up everything to be his disciples. So obviously drastic measures are needed, right? Obviously it's time to start circling the wagons. Keep your head down, suck it up, people, and get ready for imminent martyrdom. You're definitely going to die very, very soon, right? Isn't that right? Yay. It's time to put on your sackcloth. It's time to sit down in ashes. Put ash on your face like the Pharisees. Skip all of life's pleasures. When someone offers you something pleasurable or fun to do, refuse it like it's candy from the devil. Grit your teeth, furrow your brow, hunker down and get miserable. Come on, get miserable, Christians. Hey, it's all right, though. Get miserable for Jesus. Come on, touch a neighbor and say, I'm miserable for Jesus. Who's with me? What? Whatever happened to blindly following the pastor? Get miserable for Jesus. Amen? No, don't say amen to that. Let me tell you, there truly is sacrifice that needs to happen, and at times the world will truly hate us for making a stand about what's right and what's wrong and what's good and what's bad. You know, that might happen. It's bound to happen to some of us at some point. And of course, I do encourage you to make sacrifice, like being willing to give up everything. You may never have to do it, but being willing to sell everything or give everything to God or move somewhere for God. But come on, believer, let's be willing to do anything for God, even though we may not have to do everything. Amen. I want to encourage you to have a sacrificial heart. Sacrifice hanging around people who are more negative, have a more negative influence on you than you do positive on them, right? Right? That's a good thing, isn't it? You know, one of my pet peeves is when people say, I'm hanging out at the bar in the strip joint because I'm being a witness. And I'm like, did you say Jesus even once the whole time you were there? And I don't mean because you dropped your beer. I mean, did you say Jesus to somebody? Are you having an influence or are they influencing you? Come on now. If they're influencing you, get out of there quick, smart, in a hurry. Someone say, preach. But if you're having an influence, prove it then. Show me someone you talk to about Jesus. Show me someone who's come into church with you. Show me someone whose life has been radically changed because you were there with them. Amen. But as believers, we give up things and we can't hang around people and environments that have a more negative impact on us than we have positive on them. Can someone say amen? See, sometimes we'll give up things like drinking alcohol if it's a problem in your life or in your family. That's what I've had to do because it's a problem in my family. We sacrifice getting hammered at parties. We sacrifice sleeping with our spouses till we get married. All of these things, they're great things to do to honor each other and honor God, like many other things we give up, like lying, cheating, stealing. But let me tell you, all of this does not mean that God's called you to hate your life. He has not called you to hate your life, friend. Come on, wake up your neighbor. Tell him, wake up, wake up. God has not called you to hate your life. He wants you to love your life. Amen. We don't want to act like Pharisees, putting ash on our faces, all so depressed. I'm so lonely. I'm so downcast. My life sucks, and yours can suck too if you give your life to Jesus. That's not what we're called to do, believers. Amen. We're called to love our lives. That other stuff is garbage. It's trash. That is a lie from the devil, and anyone who says it is lying to you. God wants you to love your life and have fun. Come on, touch your neighbor and say, have some fun. Come on, say it to them like you mean it. Have fun. See, sacrifice often can get corrupted and lead to a sick competition between you and me about who has sacrificed the most, whose life sucks the most, because we're such great believers. My life sucks more than yours. If your sacrifice has become a competition, it's no longer sacrifice. You started doing it for your own glory, not for God's. If it's a competition, my sacrifice is now about me and my glory, not God and His glory. Amen. I give up because I want to honor God. I don't give up because I want you to think that I'm better than you. My life sucks so bad, I'm such a great believer. No. No. You're a little stupid, actually. Just a tiny bit. Just a little bit. Come on, wake up, believer. God wants to bless your life. He wants to bless your life. Lauren and I have always had this weird and sick competition about who grew up the poorest. We've settled it finally. It was her. But I always wanted to be the one who was poorer. So you can have a bit of pity on me. No, I lived a blessed life. And I'm living a blessed life. Amen. Competition. And this false sacrificial attitude leads to burnt out and grumpy Christians with a scowling face saying, would you like to know Jesus? Not your Jesus. Not today, not ever. I don't know who he is, but I want this Jesus, the one that made the sacrifice for me. Amen. You were not designed to hate your life, friend. You were designed to love your life. The writer of Ecclesiastes said in chapter 5, this is what I have observed to be good, that it is appropriate for a person to eat, to drink, to find satisfaction in their toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given them. For this is their lot. Now we'll get back to what their lot is in a minute. You better believe it. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the good health to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil, that is a gift from God. They seldom reflect on the number of their days because God keeps them occupied with a gladness of heart. Did you catch that? People go, you just need to accept your lot in life. It's in the Bible. Yeah, if I was that dude, if I was the dude here that it says I've got good food, good drink, satisfaction in my life, God has blessed me with health, wealth, possessions, the good health to enjoy them, and so be happy with that. It's a gift from God. Yeah, accept that. Say, woohoo, it's wicked awesome. Wicked is good, remember? Come on now. Ecclesiastes 8, so I recommend enjoying life. That's the Bible, my friends. I recommend, and that's Old Testament, before Jesus made the sacrifice for me. Wow, come on now. Now let me make it clear to you. Fun, which you need to have, a lot of fun. It's not at the expense of others. It's not lewd. It doesn't forget the hard calls that we just talked about as followers of Jesus Christ. It doesn't downplay the epic eternal story that we're in. Fun is not escaping from reality, but in fact, on the spiritual side, it's actually entering in more fully into what God has for us and His presence, which we talked about 2 weeks ago. And in the natural, it's enjoying the gift that God gave you. Your life is a gift. Come on, I'm talking to you. For real, your life is a gift. And when you have fun, are you ready for this? When you have fun, be sure to honor and glorify God in it. Sin and bad behavior, fun as it may be, let's be real, it's fun, right? Fun as it may be does not honor God or produce any healthy or lasting fruit in your life. But seriously, there is so much more honoring and healthy fun to be had. And there's so much more fun that honors God than there is that does not. And did you know, and this is what I really want you to leave with today, that enjoying your life honors God. Did you know that? Enjoying your life, having fun with the gift that God gave you, actually honors God. I remember a few years ago, just a couple, about 23. Can't even believe I have a memory that goes back that far. My dad felt the Lord speak to him about buying a nice car for a lady in our church. That sounds funny, doesn't it? After arguing with my wife about who was the poorest. Think about that for a second. But Dad felt called to bless this lady. She didn't necessarily need a new car, but Dad felt called to bless her. And so he shared the plan with the whole family, and we were excited to be on the journey with him. I remember the day that my dad gave her the car. But more than that, I remember the smile he got every time he saw her driving the car. Every time she got in that car after church on Sundays, it honored my dad to see her enjoy the gift that he gave her. Now, it wasn't like he sat there and he was watching her get in the car and he's saying to everybody, I gave her that. Oh, look what I bought. No. He just loved watching her enjoy the gift that he gave her. He loved it. I want to tell you right now, the moment that you're in right now, this very moment at 11:43 a.m. on Sunday the 10th, it is a gift from God. And if you'll enjoy this moment, if you love this moment, that in itself honors God. Imagine that you could simply go have a game of tennis and enjoy it, and you're honoring God by doing that. Doesn't that feel neat? I want to honor God with my life, so I'm just going to suck at everything. No, you can actually just go and enjoy a game of tennis with a friend, and in doing that, you're honoring God with the gift He gave you. Did you know that? He sees you like my dad saw this lady we talked about, and he smiles. 1 Corinthians 10 says, whatever you eat or drink and whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Everything, whatever you do, you can give God glory in tennis. You can give God glory in your car. It's harder in your car, but you can, especially on the interstate. It's very difficult, but you can. Amen. There are wonderful things to enjoy in this life. There is wonder all around you. Even in this room, just look around the room. And I'm not even making a joke about how people look. I'm being serious. Like, look around the room. Just turn your head. Watch. You've got muscles. Just go like this. Come on. Just try it. All right. Some people just staring at me when I'm saying turn your head. It involves the turning of the head. All right. Yeah, good. Turn that. Look around the room. Not one of you look the same as somebody else. Not one of you. There is wonder all around us. There's wonder everywhere in this room. I think about creation. And the spectacular event that must have been. The stars, sun, boom, moon, earth, amazing. Animals, galaxies, all this stuff. Imagine how much fun God must have had making a giraffe. He's like, hey, let's take a horse, but stretch it. Like, there is no reason to make a giraffe. They're stupid, right? But God's like, that's funny. These people are going to love that thing, right? Like, why even make that thing, right? Come on. It's so much. God must have had so much fun. Look at the glory and the wonder of creation, right? There is wonder all around you. Proverbs 15:13. A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes a soul. 17:22. A joyful heart is good medicine. Another scripture says, laughter is medicine to the soul. But a crushed spirit dries up the bones. 14:30 says, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body, but jealousy is like cancer to the bones. Come on, someone. I want you to know. I want you to listen right now. God actually wants you to have fun. Now, I'm not even making a joke. I'm dead serious right now. I'm your pastor. I'm standing on the stage here, and my sermon, the entirety of it is this. Your God actually does want you to have fun. Your God wants you to enjoy your life. No matter what situation's going on, you can have fun at the same time. Just because your leg's broke doesn't mean you can't have fun. Amen? Just because you've got the flu doesn't mean you can't have fun. Just because someone else has passed away and it's sad, I get that, it is. But your whole life doesn't have to suck because something happened in it. God says, even in the midst of the pain, you're allowed to have fun. In fact, He wants you to. Amen? It's time to give up the sackcloth and ashes and enjoy the gift God gave you. Amen? There's fun to be had in Des Moines. There's fun to be had in the world. You can play golf. Some of you, anyway. You can race a car. You can jump out of perfectly good airplanes. You can travel the world if you've got enough coin to do that. You can enjoy your family. You can eat nice food. You can eat really horrible food. You can eat junk food. You can go to the fair and eat stuff that's not even food. You can go for long walks with your spouse, with your husband, with your wife. You can go for bike rides. God did not design you to live a sad, somber, regretful life. That's not His plan for you, my friend. I want to tell you something real serious right now. I'm going to hurt some feelings in here, so brace yourself. But I want to tell you, if the funnest, most exciting part of your week is watching Netflix, you got to get a life. I'll say it again. If the funnest part of your week is Netflix, get a life. Do it now. Do it today. Come on, someone clap. God designed you for more than that. Amen. That's not what God designed you for. Nothing wrong with Netflix. I quite like it. In fact, Lauren and I are watching Chicago PD. That guy is how tough I wish I was. Church would shrink real fast, though, so we don't. But seriously, God designed you on purpose, and He wants you to love your life. He wants you to get up off the couch and go for a walk. He wants you to help your spouse make time to enjoy their life. He wants you to enjoy your life. Hey, like I said, Lauren and I like Netflix too. We're watching Chicago PD. We watched an episode yesterday, but that was not the best part of my week. Nothing wrong with Netflix unless it is your life, all right? We watched it yesterday. It was not the best part of my week. I played golf this week. We had friends over for dinner twice this week. We've gone for walks this week. I lifted weights this week. Come on now. I love my life, and that was just a little bit of stuff I did with a little bit of spare time. But I love my life. God designed you to do so much more. Create margin. He didn't design you to sit on a couch and watch other people live their lives. That's not what you were designed for, my friends. Come on now, look at these punks right here. These two here. They're not even listening to me. They're watching Netflix. What are you watching, Tanya? What are you watching there?
Walking Dead.
Oh, my gosh. And up here we got life, and over there we got death. That'll preach, right? FYI, Walking Dead was invented in the Bible when a Valley of Dry Bones came alive with sinew and all that. There's some weird gear in the Bible, right? But come on, we got these two watching Netflix up here doing nothing else. You know what you need to do, Tanya? You need to take a bat, smash that phone, and go play baseball or something. You need to grab a pair of shoes out of that bag there. Go get that pair of shoes. Go for a walk. Go for a run. Russell, listen up. Hey, close that up. You need to learn to play golf. You need to learn. You need to learn. Take these. Take these, mate. You need to take a ball and a bat and a glove or something and go throw something. Go for a walk. Where's your bride? She's here somewhere. She's serving in kids' church. After church, you need to go for a... Who thinks he should sit down and watch Netflix with his wife, or he should go and walk around Gray's Lake with her after church? Hands up for Gray's Lake. Yeah, come on. Go do that after church. Don't steal my golf clubs. They're mine, right? Like, seriously, this is what's happening in so many people's lives as the band comes back up. We got sermons going on up here. We got life happening up here. But there's people sitting back here with headphones on and their face buried in their phone, wondering why they're so stinking miserable. Because your life is never going to look like the one on that phone. Your life is never going to look like the best things that everyone put on their Facebook. Your life is never going to look like the Stepford Wives of whatever that movie is. I think it's called that, actually. Your wife isn't going to look like that, right? Your wife's not going to act like that. If your head is buried in your phone, you're going to be disappointed with everything else in your life. Turn it off. Pay attention to life. Love your life and live your life. Honor God with it. Can someone say amen? Someone say, turn that off. Not me, Netflix. Go outside, have dinner with a friend. Go for a walk and look at what God made you for. God made you for so much more. Would you stand up with me, church? You were designed. God knit you together in your mother's womb. He promised you a blessed life, an abundant life, a great life. But some of us are stuck living a couch life. My staff and I were talking this week about things we could do. What can you do? Some of it costs money, some of it's free around the Des Moines area. What can we do with our spouses or even by ourselves to enjoy the wonder of life? Like I said, I'm not knocking Netflix. I quite enjoy it. It's good fun, and you know, especially when you're sick, just to binge through a whole series of something, right? But I'm talking about for real, when you're living life to the fullest, there's other things you can do. Like, you can go for a walk around Gray's Lake, a moonlight walk with your spouse, or even by yourself. You can go to the Botanical Gardens. I think that's that thing with the weird-looking dome over it, isn't it? Yeah, you can go there. You can go bike riding. Anyone can ride a bike slow. You don't have to go 40 mile an hour. You can go to Jester Park. You can go to open houses and just look at things. You can go people watching. Now, if you do it wrong, it's called stalking. But if you do it right, you know, it's like you sit down. We do it sometimes. We'll sit down at a table and we'll pretend we know what the other people are talking about. And we'll just, what do you think they're doing? the mouth. We learned it off, I think it was Fun with Dick and Jane or Date Night or something like that, some movie. It was really fun. We do that. We're weird. We know. You can go go-karting. Did you know if you're 60, you and your spouse can still go go-karting? You can actually do that. You know, like, because your arms and legs still work. So you can. It's okay. You can do it at 90. My auntie, do you know what, I didn't say this is the first service, and now I'm going to go over time. But do you know what? My aunt had her 92nd birthday a few weeks ago in Australia. Whole family was invited to go. I missed out. I was really sad about that. It was a long way away. But do you know what she did last year? She went parachuting. Do you know what she says? Every year, she writes a list of things she's going to do. And it starts with, I'm not dead yet. Doesn't it, Lauren? She's insane. I'm not dead yet, so I'm going to go parachuting. I'm not dead yet, so I'm going to go do this. So I'm going to go do that. Flippin' heck, if my 92-year-old grandma can go parachuting, you can get your butt in a go-kart. Right? Right? Amen. You can go to the escape chambers. You can go have a cupcake at Molly's Cupcakes downtown. You can go for a walk right here on the Clive Greenbelt. Park your car at church. It'll get anointed and blessed while you're getting anointed and blessed. Come on now. But here's the thing. You were created by God. He gave you life. Use it. Love it. Live it. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 139, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I love that, right? Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. God created you. And as he knit you together, he didn't hit his thumb with a hammer and throw it and cuss you out. No, no, no. The whole time it was perfect. And he was smiling and he was excited about the life that you were going to live. And he loves you. And he meticulously crafted you. And you're a blessing. Your works are wonderful. His works are wonderful. We've all heard about that, what he's done. But I love that at the end, the psalmist wrote just that simple line. I know that full well. Some of you do not know that full well. And today it is my heart that you will get prayer and that you will know it full well. That at your age, whether it be very young or much older, you can love your life. In the middle of the most hurtful moments of your life, you can still enjoy yourself. Your God is still with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And your fun days aren't over yet. That's not done until you're done. Amen. So no matter what spot you find yourself right now, I want you to know you were created on purpose, with purpose. And as you have fun and love your life, you honor God.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.